Welcome to Breaking News to Trading Moves.
Today we're looking at a really big potential deal in the video game world. It definitely tells us something about where big money is flowing globally.
And that big money is potentially $50 billion. The headline is Electronic Arts, EA, is reportedly in advanced talks for a deal to take the company private.
Yeah, and the market reacted pretty fast. Just the rumor pushed EA shares up about 15% back on September 26th. I think investors saw right away this wasn't just another tech buyout.
Right. It feels like a statement about how valuable these big entertainment franchises really are.
Exactly.
So today, let's try to look beyond just that initial stock bump. We want to identify, which specific companies, maybe which investor groups might actually benefit from this kind of massive capital move and who might face some new challenges because of it.
Okay, so let's start with the deal itself. The reports mention a consortium backing EA. It apparently includes Silver Lake, Affinity Partners, and also, importantly, the Public Investment Fund, or PIF.
That's Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund, right?
Yeah, that's the one. A major player.
And that $50 billion number.
Yeah.
If this goes through, it sounds like it could be a record setter. Maybe the largest leverage buyout, an LBO, ever?
It would be, yeah. And just quickly, for anyone maybe not familiar, an LBO basically means the buyers are using a lot of borrowed money for the purchase. They're betting EA's future cash flow can cover all that debt.
Which says a lot about how stable they think EA's income is, especially from things like the big sports games that come out every year.
Absolutely. It tells you this group, this private capital group, sees a huge long-term potential in owning that kind of premium IP, and crucially, owning it away from the sort of pressures of quarterly public market reporting.
Okay, so a deal this big never just affects one company. Who else benefits right away besides, the current EA shareholders getting bought out? Where do the positive effects land first?
Well, the first place you look is the other big U.S. video game publishers still on the public market. They get a boost from something called M&A re-rating and scarcity value.
M&A re-rating. What does that mean in this context exactly?
Think of it like this. When a giant like EA gets taken private, the pool of similar, big, publicly traded gaming companies, well, it shrinks instantly.
Ah, so if you're an investor, maybe a fund manager, who needs exposure to pure play gaming, you suddenly have fewer options to choose from.
Precisely. And that scarcity effectively lifts the valuations, the comps they call them, for the company still public. It also, fuels chatter about more deals, more consolidation.
Which means if you own one of those remaining companies with hit games, your potential price tag just went up. You've got more leverage.
That's the idea. Premium pricing power.
So concrete examples, maybe like Take-Two Interactive, that's ticker TTWO. They own Grand Theft Auto.
Yep, them for sure. And you can also look at Roblox, RBLX, which is huge in that user-generated content space. Their value gets a lift partly because they're now sort of rarer public assets in the gaming sector.
Okay, so publishers benefit. Who's next?
The second group, this is more the infrastructure side, are the Wall Street dealmakers and the big private equity platforms themselves. They're looking at pretty nice fee and carry upside.
Right. Putting together a $50 billion LBO, that doesn't come free.
Not at all. It generates massive fees right away. You've got advisory fees for the banks leading the deal, financing fees for setting up all that debt, syndication fees for selling parts of that debt to other investors. It's immediate, significant income.
And you mentioned carry upside. What's that?
Carry is basically the private equity firm's share of the profits if the investment does well down the line. Often it's around 20% of the gains. So if this deal works out and maybe encourages more gaming deals, it's not just about this one transaction. It builds a pipeline for future business for them.
So firms like Goldman Sachs, ticker GSS, are set up perfectly for this kind of complex deal.
Exactly. And then you have the big PE platforms like the Blackstone Group, ticker BX. Their whole business is deploying and managing this type of private capital. A deal like this is right in their wheelhouse.
Makes sense. Okay, third group of winners.
This one gets into the future of making games. The gaming tech suppliers. This kind of event tends to accelerate their spending cycle, especially on stuff for high-end, AAA game development, online services, and even newer tools, including AI.
So the thinking is, a private EA, backed by PIF's money and Silver Lake's financial know-how, is going to invest more aggressively. Because they don't have to worry about hitting quarterly profit targets for Wall Street.
That's generally the incentive, yeah. Spend big now for longer-term growth. That means pouring money into things like cutting-edge graphics, building out really robust server networks for online games, adopting fancy new development platforms.
Well, that requires serious technology underneath.
Absolutely. Which flows directly to the company supplying that tech. You think about NVIDIA, ticker NVDA. They make the powerful chips needed for complex graphics and, increasingly, for AI development in games.
Right. And who
else? Unity Software, ticker U. Their engine and tools are used by tons of developers to actually build these sophisticated games and run their online features. So if the whole industry starts spending more on AAA development because of moves like this, it's definitely a positive for them.
Okay, that paints a pretty clear picture of who might be happy about this potential deal. But like you said, there's always another side. For every winner, there are usually some groups facing, maybe, new pressures. Let's look there.
Right. So the first group feeling some potential headwinds would be physical game retail and the big box electronics stores. The core issue is this just speeds up the move toward purely digital distribution.
That trend's been happening for years, though. How does EA going private specifically accelerate it?
Well, think about it. When EA is public, they have different stakeholders. Some of those, like the retail partners, benefit from the old model of selling games in boxes. Once EA is private, those voices maybe don't carry as much weight.
Ah, okay. So the private owners are purely focused on maximizing EA's direct revenue streams.
Pretty much. They're freer to push direct digital sales much harder, maybe lean more into subscription services like EA Play, and prioritize in-game purchases. All stuff that bypasses the traditional retail store completely.
Which directly hits the business model of places that rely on selling those physical boxes and dedicating shelf space to them.
Absolutely. It creates more pressure for chains heavily into physical game sales like GameStop, ticker GME, and even for broader electronics retailers like Best Buy, ticker BBY. A private EA just has less incentive to sort of prop up that physical retail channel.
Okay. Who else faces friction?
The second area is probably mobile-first publishers, specifically those that don't have the kind of premium sports or shooter IP that EA is famous for. For them, just acquiring users, getting people to download and play their games could get tougher.
How so? Is it about advertising costs?
Exactly. It becomes a bit of a cost war. If EA, now potentially backed by even deeper private pockets, decides to really double down on marketing its core franchises, Madden, FIFA, Battlefield, etc., it just drives up the price of advertising across the board, especially on mobile platforms where everyone's competing for eyeballs.
So if a smaller mobile game company and EA are both bidding in, say, a Facebook ad auction to get the same player's attention, EA can just afford to bid higher more often.
They certainly have the capacity to. Those ad auctions for new players and just the general fight for a gamer's limited time and money, it likely tilts further away from the mid-tier mobile games. EA can potentially view user acquisition spending as a longer-term investment, not something that needs to show immediate profit like a public company might demand.
And that directly means higher costs and maybe squeeze margins for companies like Playtika, ticker PLTK.
Could be, yeah. Or Apelovin, ticker APP. Anyone competing in that mobile space suddenly finds it might cost more to grow their user base because a very well-funded private EA is bidding more aggressively for those same users.
Okay, that makes sense. Is there a third group?
Yeah, the last category is maybe less obvious, but it affects the financial plumbing, you could say. It's the index and ETF ecosystem, specifically the parts tied to EA remaining a public company. It's basically about index turnover friction.
You mean like all those big S&P 500 index funds or gaming-focused ETFs?
Mm-hmm.
They currently hold EA stock, right? If EA goes private, they have to tell it.
That's exactly it. EA is a pretty major component in various indexes. If it leaves the public markets, all those passive investment products, index funds, ETFs that are designed to track those indexes, have to remove EA from their holdings.
So fund managers have to physically sell potentially billions of dollars worth of EA stock.
Right. And then they have to rebalance the rest of the portfolio to make sure it still accurately tracks the index without EA in it. It removes a significant pure play gaming name they could hold.
So it's less about the value disappearing and more about the administrative work and potential minor tracking issues involved in making that change across potentially hundreds of funds.
Precisely. It's the friction of that turnover. It creates small complexities, tracking errors, reweighting challenges for the massive firms that manage these passive funds. You know, the big players like BlackRock, ticker BLK, and State Street, ticker STT. They manage this stuff all the time, but it's still a process they have to go through when a company this size delists.
Okay, so stepping back and looking at the whole picture, it seems like this potential EA deal sets two main things in motion. First, there's that immediate reaction, the market basically saying the remaining public AIM companies are more valuable now, partly just because they're rarer.
Yep, that scarcity and M&A premium idea. And second, there's the longer-term potential for an acceleration towards digital distribution and maybe higher investment in core game technology, driven by the kind of financial freedom that private ownership, especially well-funded private ownership, can offer.
It definitely leaves you thinking about the growing influence of these huge pools of capital, like sovereign wealth funds and major private equity firms. They're making these enormous bets, billion-dollar bets, that seem poised to influence major consumer sectors like entertainment, and doing it outside the glare of the public markets.
Yeah, how that private capital continues to shape what games get made, how we buy them, and ultimately who owns the underlying creative properties. That's definitely a story we'll be keeping an eye on.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up, just the necessary reminder, this discussion reflects the analysis and opinions found in the material we reviewed today. It is not financial advice.
And it's certainly not a recommendation to buy or sell any specific stocks or securities we mentioned.
Please do your own research.
Join us next time for more breaking news to trading moves.